Morning. Good to have everyone here that is here. And for those of you who are streaming because you've had too much time in the sun by the water, I understand. That's okay. Anybody get out on the water, outside over this weekend? It's kind of warm, but it was really beautiful. We had so much wonderful weather, so many beautiful Michigan nights that we've been enjoying lately. Abby, thank you for that meditation on the fornicating cicadas, those things. And I love a poem that uses the word exoskeleton. That's wonderful. It's a very psychedelic thing to do, to lean into things that you feel uncomfortable with. I've been kind of on my own cicada journey, but with ticks, because ticks are really bad right now, especially in the area that we're at. So I've been learning about them. The more I learn about them, I mean, I still don't want them sucking my blood and passing diseases, but they're quite fascinating creatures. They really are. Ruth and Max, thank you for the music. As always, it's like comfort food to me. It feels that way. Like it's just the kind of soothing music that that brings us home. Although, be careful singing songs about going to Mexico, because this group will just up and do it. I swear half the time I am talking to somebody and like, oh, I've just come back from 6 weeks in Spain, or I'm going on a cruise in the Mediterranean, or you guys are traveling all over the place. So yeah, I'm glad that you're here this morning. And I also thought too, this was a little funny aside, Ruth and Max, some of you know one of their signature songs is Michigan Girl. That's the hat that they have over there. And I was thinking that one of these times we need to do kind of a pair up mashup with Ruth and Max and Kyle Joe, who was here a few weeks ago, who has a song, Michigan Man. So, you know, we've got our Michigan artist singing about being a great Michigander. All right, we're talking about set and setting. We're in our psychedelic summer series. By show of hands, this is not an embarrassing thing because I think almost everybody in the pre-talk had not heard of this either, but how many of you know or have heard of set and setting, at least when I'm talking about this in a psychedelic setting, kind of by show of hands? If you heard the phrase, you kind of know about it. Good. So just a handful of us do. That's wonderful. So it really is. So some people that are familiar with it, if you were to ask, would probably attribute it to Timothy Leary, one of the early psychedelic pioneers. But it actually goes back a little bit further. He kind of championed the term set and setting, and we're going to define this in a little bit. But the actual introduction of the concept and the idea came earlier than that. First, I want to start with this quote that's in your bulletin from Stanislav Grof, who is a psychedelic researcher. And you may remember a couple weeks ago, I shared another quote with him where he said that psychedelics are to the mind what the microscope is for biology or the telescope is for astronomy, that it allows you to amplify, to zoom in, to explore in greater detail. But Stanislav Grof, he said, after having personally conducted over the last 50 years more than 4,000 psychedelic sessions, I've developed great awe and respect for these compounds and their enormous potential, both positive and negative. They are powerful tools, and like any tool, they can be used skillfully, ineptly, or destructively. The result will be critically dependent on the set and setting. I could not agree more. If there's one idea or concept that you take from this when you're thinking about psychedelics in general, and since we're kind of weaving this in, Michael really did a great job last week. If you did not hear his talk, it's super entertaining. We had a great recap. He shared this poem that he wrote it with his first significant psychedelic experience at the age of 24. It was just a fascinating idea. But we're going to kind of return back. He said he was all about the mushrooms, and I am too, but I want this series and these conversations to be accessible to all of us, whether we're talking about psychedelic substances or any transformational practice. So everything I'm going to talk about this morning and next week, because this is probably going to be part one of a part two on these conversations, introducing some of these terms and definitions. And I have some of them printed out over there. I was inspired by Michael's poster last week. And so I got a poster printed up with some definitions, because it matters what we're talking about when we're talking about these things. And when we use words, these words matter. So it helps to define them. And I want this accessible for all of us. And set and setting is something that is of preeminent importance in psychedelic conversations, for sure, for any psychedelic experience. However, it matters for every time we walk into this space. It matters for any type of transformational experience that you have. Any mystical or spiritual experience is affected by your set and setting. So I said Timothy Leary championed this term along with the tune in, turn on, and drop out. But he talked about set and setting because there was a growing understanding within psychedelic researchers, especially within the universities back in the 60s, that this was such an important thing. And it started from conversations with a gentleman named Al Hubbard, who was a researcher who worked with patients. And he found, not surprisingly, when we hear this, we're kind of like, yeah, duh. But he found that when he was conducting psychedelic therapy with his patients, that instead of sterile medical rooms, hospital rooms with fluorescent lights and machinery beeping and things like that, he found that people responded better and that the experience changed with the setting that they were in. And so he developed what became known as Hubbard rooms, which is kind of funny because all he essentially did was take all of the comfort things of a house, of a home, and bring it into that treatment room. So soft pastel colors, nice colors on the wall, comfortable furniture, live plants, artwork hanging, nice music. And so these became known as Hubbard rooms. And today, even traditionally, people who are doing psychedelic assisted therapy will utilize some form of a Hubbard room, because people respond so much well under these therapeutic substances to the setting that they are in. So that's the origin of kind of the set and setting. Let's jump now to the first word and define that. Set is short for mindset. So when we're talking about set and setting, set is mindset. It is the inner weather, the interior weather of what's going on inside you that you bring to an experience, to any experience. The last time you went to your family reunion, that family reunion and your experience at it was affected by your mindset and the setting. It may have been a very positive experience because you got to see your uncle who you haven't seen for a while, and you're chatting and you're catching up, and maybe you played a great game of cornhole and you won and you're all excited, and it's just the weather was perfect. And that week you were having a wonderful connecting time with your partner, and you just had some wonderful experiences leading up to that, and it just made the entire experience come together in a way that when you reflect on it now and you go back to it, you recall that memory with fondness. Now, I guarantee that at that same family reunion, there was somebody there who came into that experience with an unhealthy mindset, interior weather with storms. They had just had an argument in the car on the way there about the food, and the food spilled on the floor, and they're trying to get it together, and they're arguing with the kids, and everything is just making them angry and cranky. And then they get there, and instead of talking to that one fun uncle that you want to get together with, you got stuck with the crazy uncle who's talking about all of his conspiracy theories, and you're just like, ah, the whole experience just went downhill, and you hated it. Two people, same place, set and setting matters tremendously. So your set is the definition that I'm kind of working with here. Your mindset, your mood, and your beliefs and expectations, the inner weather that you bring into an experience. I mentioned beliefs because your beliefs dramatically shape the experience you have, both in a psychedelic setting as well as in the types of places that you go for transformational experience. That's why two people can go into a cathedral or a temple, a spiritual setting, and have different experiences because they're bringing different beliefs and expectations. There's a book that I read a number of years ago that it was a fascinating study called How God Changes Your Mind. How God Changes Your Mind. And it's a study of the neuroscience of spiritual beliefs and religious beliefs. And we find, in fact, that what you believe about God, about your eternal destiny, as Ruth and Max saying, you know, what you believe about where you're going to go afterwards and all these things, shapes how you engage with certain practices, with certain environments that you're in. So the mindset question of the set and setting is, what is your inner weather? What is the weather that's going on inside you right now? Your thoughts, your moods, your expectations, your intentions, your personality traits, any underlying psychological issues contributes dramatically to an experience. That's why these are not within the context. If you've heard Michael talk, especially in pre-talk and talk back last week, he said, these are not silver bullet solutions. This is not just a take one psychedelic substance and you're going to be all better. There are risks to it. And as Stanislav Grof said, after having conducted over 4,000 psychedelic-assisted therapy, these are powerful substances, but in the wrong context and ingested with the wrong form of interior weather, whether psychological issues or other issues that require additional attention to detail, can have the opposite or a negative effect on there. And this includes both your conscious and your subconscious attitudes, the physical state of your body going into an experience. All of these things dramatically affect your mindset, what you're carrying into an experience. And then next is the setting, set and setting. And that you can probably understand or surmise from the word that just simply means the exterior landscape that you're in, the room, the space, the people you're with. The definition that we're working with says the outer landscape, the physical space, the people, the sounds, the smells, the energy of a room that shapes your experience. One of the examples that was shared in pre-talk that I liked because I think we can all relate to it was of somebody who attended a boxing match as a young man, and he was not into that form of physical activity or sport typically, but he had a friend or brother-in-law, a relative that was playing, and once his brother-in-law went into the ring, he found himself very engaged with the process. He said he turned into a different person, and you can probably relate to that. I what comes to mind for me is my first Red Wings games, or when we lived in Lapeer, we would see, I think it was the Flint Generals at the time. There's a big difference between watching hockey on TV and watching hockey from behind the plexiglass, right? When they come and they slam right up into there, and you see the ice fly, and you see people go, and the whole stadium erupts, and you feel the vibrations. It's totally different. And even if you're not into that sport, soccer is one of those sports I would say, you know, it's harder to kind of, you know, stay with that. Hockey is, you take all the energy and space of that, and you shrink it down and put it on ice, and then people going all over and fights happening. And even if you're just not into that thing, you can get swept up in the emotions of that. Now, probably a better example would be like concerts. You can relate to that too. You've been to concerts where the feeling of the crowd engaging with that was a spiritual experience, a religious experience. Some of my most profound times of interconnection that I have felt didn't have to do necessarily with psychedelic substances. It had to do with psychedelic experiences. To be in a place with thousands of other people who appreciate and recognize and love that same artist and the same music, and to have everybody singing together, the power of music in a setting, transformational. Our outer surroundings can either soothe or stir us. They can help to bring down the energy in our interior world. And these things are like two sides of the same coin, the set and the setting. Your mindset is affected by your setting. And of the two, we said that your mindset is probably the more malleable, because you also know the experience of having had a bad morning, maybe like this morning, and maybe you spilled your coffee or you had a rough morning. But then you come here and you're chatting with people, and then Ruth and Max play, and you hear a great meditation, and all these things come together. And by the time you leave, you're feeling different. Your mindset has shifted. Okay, our mindset, we use weather terminology because just like Michigan weather, it can change very quickly. It can transform and be transformed by an experience that we're in. One of the more transformational parts of your setting, like I said, is music. And I'm a big, big believer in the power of music to affect a space, an atmosphere, to change how we perceive something. We've had some of these moments where it just feels like the stars align, where I'll give a talk and maybe the meditation connects, and then the artist will come back up and play something afterwards, and it just feels like all these pieces just kind of fall into place. Music in the proper setting can change how we feel about things. It can change an experience tremendously. I would have liked to have shown this, but I think it's probably good to look up after the fact. I'll probably include a couple in the weekly emails. But I love the trailers to films that are recut with different music and scores. So the Mary Poppins trailer is recut as a horror thriller called Scary Mary. And if you watch it, it looks pretty scary. Or the Silence of the Lambs is recut as a romantic comedy. The music, the words, the language, it shapes things. So when we're talking about set and setting, we're saying that there are these external and internal components that change how we experience transformational moments. And we have the ability to control these things. Hanifa Washington said, you can change, this is also in your bulletin, you can change or calibrate what an experience may look like depending on where you are and how safe that place makes you feel. That word safety is so key, because essentially that's what our consciousness craves, is safe places. And trauma happens when we experience things that change our feeling of safety, that change what we thought we should be able to experience. When we experience abuse, we recognize that it's not safe and we continue to go inward. So the safety of a space and the safety of the place that you're in so greatly affects the experience of transformation, because you know that we only can choose to become vulnerable, to have those deeper conversations with people and in places where we feel safe. Often what often when we are in challenging experiences, we can change what is happening in our setting. We could grab a blanket. We could move from outdoors to indoors. We could turn the music up or down. We could light a candle. We could change the scent. These are things that are within our ability to change. The things that I have found that have dramatically shaped settings, and we'll go back now for just a minute, specifically talking about psychedelics, as Michael was diving into that a little bit more last week. The difference that I have found in having conversations with people who have said, yeah, I've done mushrooms, but I was at a concert, I was 17, and it was, you know, good, bad, or otherwise, or I've had really bad experiences on these substances. And I've heard those stories right alongside of people who have said, these have been some of the more transformational experiences I've had in a different context. And again, what changes is the set and setting. When we're consuming substances that have these hugely influential effects on our neurochemistry, and we're doing it in places that don't feel safe, festivals, concerts, with friends, as teenagers, when we're doing it in a setting that is bringing our mindset that hasn't been calibrated, that hasn't applied any intention to the experience, we're going to get back what we're putting in. If we don't put any intention in, we're just simply shaking things up for the purpose of shaking things up. And the mind can be a scary place if we just simply dive in for the purpose of seeing what's in there. The key is applying intention to what we do. And this is where I think it comes back to how this applies for us here and now. Whether or not you ever touch a psychedelic substance, you are affected, you and I are affected by our sets and our setting. We're affected by that in a daily basis, but especially when it comes to transformational experiences. What we put into it oftentimes mirrors what we will get back. And the key there is intention. Intention. That's the last word that I want to kind of touch on, because we're not going to have a lot of time to talk about this week, but that is what I would describe as the compass that guides you through the experience. Intention, and the working definition that we're working with here, is a guiding aim or inner orientation that helps to shape and direct the experience. It's different from a goal which seeks a specific outcome. So you may have a goal that you want to lose 15 pounds, that you want to stop becoming more angry, that you want to do this. And we can bring those goals into psychedelic experiences, but the funny thing is you'll find if you do that the mushrooms or the experience or the substances don't really care about what your goals are. It's a matter of what is happening inside and what's coming up. So that's why, rather than going into an experience with a goal of, I want to work on my issues with my mother and I want to do that, that may be something that may come up, but it's better to apply an intention and to think of it as a compass rather than a map, something that can help guide you and direct you in the experience. And these can be words, phrases, it can be mantras, and they are what helps to transform the experience from a one-time aha moment into long-term and lasting change, because that's what we're ultimately looking for. We can seek experiences, and experiences are all around us. We can find substances and go places to have experiences. But if we're trying to pursue transformation, if we're trying to pursue wholeness or integration, then that integration is what we're after. And that's more than the simple inspiration. The inspiration is that aha moment. It's what happens sometimes under a psychedelic experience or in a transformational container in a spiritual community. Somebody says something, there's a word, a phrase, something that really rings true, and you write it down and you think about it, and then we walk away. And life happens, and we forget to do something with it. The integration is how we take that aha moment and turn it into our day-to-day transformation. The aha moment would be something like, I'm connected to everything, and I'm realizing my interconnectedness with everything. That's the inspiration, but the integration is remembering that when you're stuck in traffic on 31. That's the difference. It's saying, there was something that came up from this experience, but what am I going to do with it? You might remember a few weeks ago, I used the so what and the now what as kind of my litmus test for anything transformational. I just read this great book. I heard this great speaker. I had this amazing therapy, mind-blowing revelation. I had this or that or the other thing. Okay, great. So what? So what? Why does that matter? Why does that matter for you now? And then more importantly, now what? Okay, you've had this thing come up. Your therapist helped connect something that you've been struggling with in therapy for months or years, and it just connects, and you've read that book, and that principle really helped you understand something. But what we do with that is the work. And oftentimes, it's the less fun part of the experience. I've done psychedelic substances, and there is a blissful connectedness that you experience that is something amazing and ineffable. But that's not where the transformation happens. That's meaningless if we don't do anything with what we've learned. So let's kind of recap a little bit here as we introduce these terms here, set and setting. Set, your mindset, what you carry into an experience, and then you're setting the exterior landscape, how the room is set up, the energy of the space, and then the things that we do to impact the space. So, you know, a good example here, we can kind of talk about this within the context of set and setting as a spiritual community, okay? Because this concept matters for us outside of the psychedelic conversation. C3 is a place that holds space and creates containers for conversations like this to happen. Conversations around things that you won't have elsewhere, conversations about transformational experience, conversations with people who come from different places and different backgrounds. That diversity makes us stronger. It exposes us to new ways of seeing and new ways of being. And we can't, as speakers or musicians or leaders, can't control your mindset that you're coming in with. But we can make some assumptions that you probably, like most of us, have a lot of weight and stress from the world that you're bringing into spaces like this. No matter how good the week has been, there's the news, there's family, there's traffic, there's all these things that can affect our mindset. And we can't control oftentimes the mindset that we bring into spaces. And so oftentimes as a speaker, I like to think of you coming in, and when I've spoken in crowds, I know that there are some that are smiling and some that are really coming in off of a great week and in a great mindset, but I also know that it is just as likely that there are some of you coming in really, really depressed, really frustrated, really angry, really upset, really discouraged. But that's where the setting comes into play. So as a spiritual community, what are the things that affect how we engage with that? Well, music is a great example. Lighting, how the chairs feel, how comfortable you are, the people you're next to, all of these components affect how we engage with transformational experiences. We are the setting for one another. So if you could walk away with something this morning, and we're introducing these terms, set and setting, if we can acknowledge that most of us probably have some difficult internal weather going on, given the state of things right now, if we can remember that that setting that plays such a key part can change that weather as quickly as Michigan weather can change, and that you and me, we are the setting for each other. We help to change the weather for those who are coming through these doors, no matter what their week has been like. We create, hopefully, safe spaces to have conversations that matter. We talk about things in pre-talk and in talk-back and in dozens of little small conversations that happen during small bites. We talk about things that matter because you matter. And we get to be that setting for transformational change. We're going to keep coming back to these conversations. We're going to introduce some more terms. But I hope that for you, and we'll invite Ruth and Max to come back up and play a little bit music for us as we go out. But I hope that these concepts help to give you some language to talk about how transformational experiences happen and to help you to be a little bit more informed on the conversations we're having as a spiritual community about what matters in the set and the setting, the space that we're looking at, and how that affects things. So thank you for the conversation. Namaste. Let's keep our minds and our hearts open as we continue these transformational conversations. Thank you.